a pleasant greeting. Wakes me up. Hello. No,
Candyman,
don't say it. No, stop it.
Candyman.
Oh, that's bullshit. You got four in there. What is with you
That's.
guys and picking movies that kills slaughter dogs? What is
I
with
know.
you?
I was gonna say
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
I've never seen that the movie before.
Yeah, well, you guys have to pick movies that take on my favorite people in the
Yeah,
world.
I wasn't happy either. I forgot to check. I forgot to check. Does the dog die dot com?
Yeah.
There
Well,
such a thing?
one of them
Yeah,
was worse. One of them
that's a
was
real
worse
thing.
than the other 'cause you get one of them
Yeah,
back.
mine was kind of silly and fake looking.
Yeah.
The Candyman was a lot more brutal, but in general, it was a lot more brutal,
Yeah.
but as well. But yeah, does the dog die is a real thing. I mean, it started just that. Like, you could look up a movie and find out if the dog dies in it or not before
Yeah.
you make the mistake of watching it. But now it actually is really extensive. Like, you look up any movie and it has a really long list of different triggers and things that
Really?
you might not want to that you might not want to watch a movie because of, like, if something in particular bothers you. So
See, it
it's actually
depends
kind of useful.
it depends for me of what the context is. So this one didn't bother me because it was you didn't see it. Like,
Yeah,
you know,
that.
it happened off screen.
Right.
And but as opposed to like what was that movie with Will Smith, I Am Legend?
Oh, yeah, with the
Did you see
zombies,
that?
yeah.
Yeah, with remember it was just him and his dog?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
I have I used to be where I couldn't take it, but now I take it in the context and I'm able to deal with it. But
Yeah.
it used to be like where I'd read a comic and it'd have dog violence and I'd have to put it down. Like I couldn't. Now I can at least read it. I don't have to like it, but it's part of the story, so.
You can push through.
Yeah, in reality, that is what happens. If you have somebody break into your house, what are they gonna do? They're probably Your dog will bark, they'll probably kill it, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the way. If you're into realism, that's what'll happen. So it's just hard 'cause man, they are God, they're just like love beasts, man. They just they don't know what a bad day is. At least I don't think they do.
Right.
You're a love beast, Mike.
I try to be. I try to be
Yeah.
like a my like Harley.
But yeah, so this is our Halloween special.
Yes, and
And
can
we're
you
talking about.
refresh my memory? Last year was Trick or Treat and Chopping Mall, but I can't remember the other one. Do you remember?
Trick or tr who picked Trick or Treat? You?
I did, and it was the best one. I
And
loved
then
it.
so and so Chris picked Chopping Mall, which means we can't remember mine, and I don't remember it either.
Wow.
I'll have to go to
It was
the
real
website.
memorable, apparently. It's a real good one.
Oh no, I'm not remembering the name of it, but I'm remembering there was like the things I'm remembering are like kind of
Okay,
hard to
wait.
describe.
Just give me a thing and I could try to remember.
Yeah, me too.
There
What do you
was
got?
a well, the things that I'm saying are gonna be sound like super generic horror stuff, but there was a group of young ladies. I think they lived in a house together. This is like 20,000 horror movies.
Was it Last House on the Left? Was it
No, I didn't know.
Sorority Row?
You picked Sorority Row on the other time, Mike.
Oh,
Oh, maybe
was it
that's what I'm thinking of. That
The
was.
House on Sorority Row?
I thought that was for that. No, I
Yeah, I
didn't
don't
pick
know. I
that
don't remember what Rob's was, 'cause mine was Trick or Treat.
one. Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh.
Well, if only there
Last
was a way
year,
we could pick
I'm
up.
thinking 2 years ago, because I wasn't on it last year. Oh.
Oh.
Last year
Then
was. Ronnie was on it with you guys. And
what
it
did he
was.
pick?
It was The Birds, Trick or Treat,
Oh yeah, The Birds. And that
and
one's a
Deep Red.
classic. You cannot like not
Which
like
was
The
the last
Birds.
one?
Deep
Deep
Red.
Red.
Oh, that was mine. Deep Red.
What was
Yeah.
that? I don't remember it at all.
It was weird. It was like there was I don't know, it was very stylized. I think it's Italian.
Did I
It was
watch
like yeah. You said it was okay. It was like I think there was a killer like in there was an apart it's like, European setting. It was like the mystery of who this killer was.
Oh, that's and it like ends up in like a apartment complex or
Yes,
something. And there's some
yeah.
guy
And they
following that person
yeah, and
into
they
the
realized that
apartment
they knew who
complex.
it was because they saw it in the like the
And it's like
mirror.
in the walls and stuff. Somebody's like
Yeah.
watching him. Yeah, I remember this one. You got your pretentiousness on with that one.
Yep, that
Yeah.
definitely was, yeah.
It wasn't bad though. I remember it
No.
now. Now I remember it.
Yeah, it was on my list, that I still not even getting close to completing. This 101 movies to watch before you die. Candyman was on there too, so that's
Yeah,
a
I didn't. No, I know why I didn't remember because I wasn't there. I wonder
Yeah.
how. How did I get out? I mean, how did I forget?
Hey,
What
wait
was I doing?
a
I don't remember what I was doing. I don't remember why I was on. Wasn't on that one, but yeah, 2 years ago is what I was thinking of. Because man, it was 2 years ago.
Chopping Mall was yours, right?
Chopping Mall. We had 2 years ago. We had Chopping Mall. Prom Night was what I was thinking of with Rob and The House on Sorority Row. Or
Okay.
actually, I think I was mixing your two
I thought,
movies in
yeah,
my mind.
I rely on Facebook because sometimes Facebook is pretty good about remembering like key posts on the day,
Yeah.
and what came up on my wall was the poster of Chopping Mall and Trick or Treat. Even they were, I guess I didn't pay attention. They were separated by a year.
Those were but those ones when we picked the Chopping Mall and Sorority Row and Prom Night, those were three very entertaining ones.
Yeah.
I remember enjoying all three of those quite a bit.
Yeah. These ones I enjoyed all of them, but I had seen two of them. And I've seen Gate, I think, like 3 times. But I just didn't remember a lot of it.
I hadn't seen any of them
Yeah.
before.
I didn't see this is this is my first Dracula Hammer film.
Yeah,
And it's the last, so it's interesting.
I looked that up. I saw that was the last one after I was done watching. Yeah.
So our choices were, my choice was The Satanic Rites of Dracula, which I was so happy because the thing I like Netflix finding something sucks because its algorithm is I'll pick what you display to you, at least on the screen.
Yep.
And then you have to like know what you're looking for, in my opinion. And at least on Amazon Prime, I could like type in Dracula and then all the movies come up, just like if you were buying something and it will say streaming on Prime. And I didn't know that. Like, Amazon Prime is a wealth of like old movies, and I've been on the old movie kick. Like, I don't know what I'm going into this weird stage where I just want to watch anything pre-80. I don't know. It's the Joker movie. It really influenced me. I don't know what it did. But it messed me up. I want older stuff. So that's why I was so happy to switch my movie. I was like, yes! And I was very happy with it because I thought the plot was like, it started off a little slow and weird. And I never knew that Hammer didn't care about nudity. Like I had no idea
Yeah, I
there
didn't
would
know one
be.
way or the other. Yeah,
they
I didn't.
kind of, I don't think their earlier horror films had as much nudity and blood, but as things went on with this, like in the 70s and their later films, they sort of increased the amount of both to, for the usual reasons to get people to watch.
Well, climate change too, it's getting hotter out there, so.
That's true.
And I th well, th and things in cinema changed in general too. I mean, the 70s, that was where the floodgates really broke loose with nudity and violence.
The 70s? Yeah.
When I started watching my film, I was like, man, this is a slow drag. Like,
I Did you say
like,
the name of it?
I wouldn't yeah, call it. I wouldn't say it was a drag, but it was. It definitely was a slow. It was a slow burn for sure.
It was a slow burn until it got to the midway point, I think. But
yeah,
once I got to sit down and digest what this was, I was like, this is pretty freaking amazing, because it is like Dracula bringing upon the apocalypse. It's like a Vandal Savage story. I like want to like cleanse the world because it's full of crap, and I just want to obliterate it. And you have like his four horsemen that are prominent beings. You know, they're prominent people in society.
In the UK government, yeah.
Yeah, they're all key. Are sacrificing women, and I like the sheep wearing jacket hunters that are like the Van Helsing guys
how many of them were there?
But what I took it is they're like the Renfields of modern society, and they come out on motorcycles and they hunt down the women. And they got killed. Like
didn't they all look as? I mean, there was like two or three of them. Didn't they all look the same? And they're
They wear the same outfit, but they were definitely different actors.
Oh, yeah, okay. They looked very similar to me.
Well, I went to Amazon to see if I could buy one after.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like, Satanic Rites sheep vest or whatever. I just started. I just wanted this. It looked warm.
I think they scooped them all up for the production. That was such an odd choice. I thought they must have just ran into some wholesale or something when they were shopping for the costuming, and they were like, "Yeah, we'll use these.
Yeah, exactly.
They're cheap." That was one of the ways they saved money on the production.
But I was really happy with this movie because it was the only one that I hadn't watched.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot a lot about the other two, especially Candyman. Like I knew Candyman, and I remember me and Barb going to see it. It was in our college years,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember anything about it except the repeating of the name. Because
that's all that I remember.
When I was a kid, it wasn't Candyman; it was Bloody Mary. So like,
right.
Like if you said it three times in the bathroom mirror when you know in elementary school. And I could never do it. I'd say it twice, and then I'd run out of the bathroom. I'd,
See, I was the same way that I'd heard, like, I'd never seen Candyman, but I had heard it was something with saying his name in the mirror, and I thought it was saying it, like, three times or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, I think it's, like, Bloody Mary. Or maybe I'm confusing that with this, and there is no talking into the mirror. But then, you know, right at the beginning of the movie – they kind of introduce you to the concept, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, I was right about that." But,
anyway, back to this
satanic.
This satanic rites of the plot is Dracula's dead. You know, Van Helsing's killed him in prior movies, and this satanic group is trying to bring him back from the dead. And what they do is they sacrifice women, and these guys in the sheep brown vests. go out on their motorcycles, and they just it seems like they just randomly pick women and strip them of their clothes and put them on the altar, or they just let them Dracula bite them and become a vampire, and then they keep all the women in the basement chained. I was like, why are they all chained? But
yeah,
maybe Dracula, they lose all, they turn into total animals, and Dracula, you know, doesn't want to deal with them. That messing up his plan for the Armageddon.
Yeah.
And he's sort of this rich guy that bought this building, and it's a huge building and corporation, and he's using these four guys to make sacrifices, which will overcome the world. But enter two cops, Van Helsing and his daughter. His daughter was kind of a letdown because I thought she'd be a little bit badass.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because when they introduced her, you know, I was like, she's pouring coffee, but, you know, he's like, yeah, this is my daughter, and she seemed to know a lot.
Yeah, and they asked if she should be excused, and he's like, no, no, she knows all this stuff. And so I'm like, oh, she's going to be really, tough.
Yeah, when they said that, I said, oh, she's going to be like a vampire hunter. Like, she's going to be badass. And, like, when she went into the house originally, I thought, well, she'll be pretty cool because she's dealt with this kind of thing before. She'll be prepared. She'll have a cross. She'll have some holy water or something. And, no, she went in and pretty much almost got killed if it wasn't for the cop. You know, the cops were upstairs, and they were, like, questioning the Asian woman who was the priestess.
And
they heard screaming, and then that ran downstairs, and there was all these women in chains going to kill Mrs. Van Helsing, or Miss Van Helsing. Is it niece or daughter? I can't remember.
I thought
granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Okay.
Which, interestingly, this was made... So Van Helsing is played by Peter Cushing.
Yeah, and Christopher Lee is Dracula.
Yeah.
And I don't know who any of the other people are.
His granddaughter is someone also that people might know, Joanna Lumley. She's well known for the BBC show Absolutely Fabulous.
Ah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, she's been in other stuff, a lot of British television and stuff, and movies and stuff. She's been in tons of stuff. She'd be the other one from this that's pretty well known. But yeah, actually, Peter Cushing, his wife died just a couple years before this was filmed, and he lost so much weight and was aged so much by that experience that she was originally going to be his daughter, and they changed it to granddaughter, and they did that in another movie that he filmed around the same time. Mm. He's only about like 60 at the time, but he looks older than that.
Yeah.
He's in, him and Christopher Lee are in a ton of Hammer horror films, but you know,
they're famous for those roles, I think, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Peter Cushing, people know him for at least over on. He became more of a name over here because of Star Wars.
That's right.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
And then, funny enough, Christopher Lee joined the Star Wars franchise in the prequels.
That's true. But, yeah, I like Peter Cushing a lot because, Christopher Lee, too, but Peter Cushing, I've seen him in some other Hammer horror films, and he never plays it campy. He always plays the roles very seriously.
Yeah.
Which he said that he did that out of respect for the audience, even though like he wasn't necessarily a fan of horror movies and stuff.
He was good. Like he stood out as definitely like the best actor in the whole bunch, for sure. And he visits his friend early on, who he knows. He follows him home and he finds out he's making these like Black Plague vials to release, and he knows something's wrong. And when he gets knocked out, like the thing I don't get with those guys is they could have killed him a couple times. Like the second time, I understand, because Dracula was like, I want you to see, I'm gonna turn your granddaughter on, you know, into a vampire, and I want you to see the plague released and all this, but. Early on in the film, when they knocked him out and they went and got the vials, they could have killed him and just, they would have taken out the whole thing, and then we would have had Armageddon.
But, yeah.
The villains always seem to make stupid mistakes. You know, if you're ever a villain, just take out your enemy right away. Don't leave them there for sure. But yeah, this was entertaining. That it surprised me, like maybe you can explain to me, is the downfall of Dracula. There's a chase scene at the end, because he confronts him, the whole house goes to pot, burns down. There's a chase scene at the end between Van Helsing and Dracula, And I think he's got the thorn, one of the thorns that was on the Christ's head, or either it
It's
was
the
part of the cross.
plate. Yeah, it's the that bush or whatever is the made
Yeah,
out of
on
that
his
same.
head. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
the thing that.
how was that bush like that he ran into? How was it like holy at all? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, I
Like,
think
'cause he got caught up in that.
what I that confused me too, and I think it was because the way that he talks about it made it sound as if it was the specific bush or the specific thorns of Christ's crown. And I think it was meant to be just that the same type of a hawthorn bush, so it was like, that's what
Okay.
I took out of it too, as well. Yeah,
So it
that's what
was
I.
just by association, not that he had anything with. I thought he took some out of his pocket, and I don't.
Yeah, so it just had to be the same type of bush as they used, but
Yeah.
I also was thinking that he meant more specifically the actual ones, but I guess
Yeah.
that wouldn't really be even worth mentioning if like. Okay, here's our plan. We have to find the actual crown of Jesus that
Yeah.
like that's no use. So yeah, so but I actually kind of I don't know if it was because the regardless of that, I thought it was a little bit kind of a lame ending.
I
Just the
think it
way that
was a
it
lot.
was directed was kind of like he trudges through these thorns and falls and he gets stabbed, but
He does get a Van Helsing a pike through his chest there.
yeah,
So
he uses a
that's how
fence
he that's
post.
what really kills him. But yeah, it was weird because I kept on thinking he would, like, even when he made the bullet in that chalice, religious chalice, and he like molded it and then made that one bullet that he put in his pistol to go confront him. I wish he would have just shot him right away. He just like when he dropped the papers, I was hoping he would got his gun and just come up and shot him. Like, why give him a chance to bring his lackeys into the forefront? And his lackeys kind of turned on Dracula once they learned his big plan. They're like, two of them got away, I think. They just ran. One of them got infected, and the one cop was able to get Miss Van Helsing out of the room before it came down. But I enjoyed this film. Like, I didn't know what to expect, but definitely I'll be looking for some more Hammer films in the future.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I like I mean I like any era of horror movie. It's funny because you guys always like to tease me about my comic book reading, but for movies and stuff, it's nice to have a lot of different types in eras of these movies because depending on what you're in the mood for, there's something all the time.
Which movie did you watch first?
For me, I watched The Gate first,
You should
and
have
then I
watched
watched yours,
Candyman. I don't get it.
and I watched Candyman last.
No, you should have watched Candyman first
What?
because
Why
it's
is that?
alphabetical.
Oh, no, I watched them chronologically.
Ah.
That actually is true, but I didn't do that on purpose. Oh no, that's not true because The Gate is newer than yours. Yeah, so I didn't even do it that way.
Well, the newer one is Candyman, right?
Yeah, Candyman's the newest. Then The Gate is what, in the 80s, 84 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the Dracula one, 73.
What was Candyman? What year?
92.
92. Wow, that's just incredible thinking how old I am, you know?
Yeah, 27 years ago.
Well, it's amazing to think that I've lived half my life in two different states. Yeah, it's almost like divided in half,
Yeah.
but it's pretty incredible. What do you want to go
Chris,
over next? Which
well,
one?
Chris, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was good. It's
he was in it for the nudity. That's it.
Yeah, he kept every time that woman left the screen, he just fast forwarded.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, where's the next scene?
Yeah, so it was only a couple minutes long.
He thought that Mike was going to pick a longer movie, but
yeah. No, I thought it was okay. I thought it was decent. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was entertaining because, like I said, I mean, Peter Cushing is always great. Christopher Lee is good. You don't see as much of him, but he's great at what he does, and it had its moments. But there were also sections of it that were kind of a little dry, a little boring. So I suspect even though I have seen other Hammer horror films, I haven't seen any of the other Dracula ones, and I think there probably are better ones than this. But
I would guess so too. Yeah,
but it was entertaining. I don't regret watching it.
I like the complex plot. That's what I like. I think the plot was really well conceived. Whether it was executed to perfection, that's questionable. Mm-hmm. But I just like the complexity of it.
I think the plot was
something
good.
A little different.
Yeah, but like I think that Chris, I think you're right that you know there were a lot of like just kind of quiet, like duller moments or parts that, and I was unfortunately I was getting tired watching it too, so I start like my eyes start closing and I'll open my eyes back up to get to the next next more exciting part. But overall, I thought it was. Definitely enjoyable. I liked it.
What did you give it on your scale? I know you have a 1 to 10 scale.
On my scale, I gave it right in down the middle a 5 out of 10, which would be a 3 out of 5, but a low 3 out of 5.
I hate the 5 out of 10. It just seems so disparate. A 3 out of 5. Seems a little bit over the hump to me. I don't know why, but
well, like I said, if I'm gonna, I break it down because that's what IMDb does, and that's I actually record them in IMDb.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing it on a 5-point scale, then it's definitely it would not be a 2 out of 5. It would be a 3 out of 5. It's just not a high 3 out of 5.
Well, what is your
2.5?
Yeah, but no, you can't do 2.5. You have to round up or down.
Well, I give it a 3 out of 5, which is a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I like that better because the Netflix is like I like it. That's a 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
A 4 out of 5 is I really like it, and a 5 is I love it. And you can guess what a 4 is. I don't like it, and one is I hated it.
Yeah, hated it. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I liked it. It was a 3 out of 5. I liked it. I didn't really like it. I didn't think it was that good, but it was. I wasn't just neutral on it because there were moments. There were probably the good outweighed the bad slightly.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it, but I think I think my mode of film watching is influencing that. So I think if I wasn't into old movies right now, I would not have given, I would have probably did a 3 out of 5 instead of 4.
Okay. No, I enjoyed it.
Cool. I was glad I switched it though. I wanted to watch something older.
I've seen the other one. What was it? All the Boys?
Yeah, that was I was doing a Chris thing. I was like, man, I can't find anything old. Like I can't, everything is like new. I can't find anything on Netflix. And I was just getting flustered and I said, okay, this one looks all right.
And Amber Heard played Mandy Lane.
All the Boys love Mandy Lane. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it too and I don't remember it at all. I think it would come back to me. if I started to watch it or I watched like a trailer or something like that, but
yeah.
I don't think it was anything super special, but I think it had a buzz around it because it got completed, and then distribution fell through, so it didn't get released for years.
Mm.
So it was this movie that people couldn't legally see, and it, you know, got distributed anyways, like on the internet and stuff like that. So it got kind of like a buzz about it that I don't think if it had just come out normally, I don't think it would have got as much attention.
I gave that movie a 5 out of 10 as well.
Which one?
All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
Yeah, your ratings, I feel like I feel like Martin when you rate something.
Seven.
Like all this, it's 7 or 5.
You guys don't like the odd numbers, do you?
I don't like your ratings at all. Like I can't differentiate whether you liked it or not, or you just feel to me you feel indifferent about everything you watch. So it's like
A 7?
Who cares?
Well, but if 5 is indifferent, then 7 must be good, right?
Yeah, 7 is on the positive side for sure, but it's like a C.
A C?
Yeah, 70.
70%?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, 70's, 70's not bad.
See, me and my wife kind of have a thing where if it's a movie that you enjoyed but you wouldn't necessarily need to own or to watch a bunch again, then that's probably going to be a 6 or a 7. If you'd like to own the movie, then that's got to be an 8 or higher. I don't need to own these movies.
I will say that's true
like
for me.
Like the seventh.
I wouldn't mind getting like a Dracula Hammer, what do you call it, collection, you know?
Yeah.
But other than the others, I didn't even own them on VHS when
I did. You finish watching Bride of Frankenstein?
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that one gets a 9 from me. Another odd number.
It's so good. And Frankenstein in that movie can move, man. he like could go to a full sprint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I love the blind man scene because he was like his buddy. Like they became such good friends, and he taught him to like fire. Light your cigarette. And he's like smoking the cigarette. Oh, that's good.
Good. But you know what the funniest thing is? I was shocked, like when I first saw it, I was shocked at how identical Young Frankenstein parodies that, because I saw Young Frankenstein way before I saw Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah. I had never seen Bride of Frankenstein until this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got
that. I didn't even know that like Mary Shelley appeared. Like the movie starts like it's another tale. Like Mary Shelley is telling the story, the sequel to the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
So who wants to go next?
I guess we can go in chronological order.
That would make you next.
Yep.
The next one, the one thing I didn't realize, though, on the next one is that the lead character is the villain in Blade. Like
Stephen Dorff, it's his first
role. Yeah. That's what I didn't realize. I was like, I know that name. I know that name.
Yep, when he was just a young kid.
Yep. Literally a young boy.
Yep. So The Gate. I picked this one because it was an 80s film, and it looked like it might be like a lot of other 80s films. It was, you know, a short 85 minutes. As you said, Stephen Dorff, probably the only actor of renown that was in it. But Yeah, the gate is basically this hole in their back in the backyard of their suburban home. I think the hole results from them cutting down a tree in the backyard, and then they find this him and his friend. His friend was probably one of my favorite things about the movie. His friend's like a nerdy dude, but that's also like a metalhead. So he's got like a Killer Dwarves jean jacket and stuff like that. And there's like a scene of him rocking out in his bedroom with to a heavy metal album and stuff. And that actually becomes part of the plot because so his parents, the Stephen Dorff's name, his character's name is Glenn. Glenn's parents go out of town and leave him and his sister. His sister's older than him, a teenager. We can talk about specific things that happen and stuff is throughout the film, but the basic thing is that creepy stuff starts happening, and then eventually demons come out of the gate in the backyard and start causing ruckus around the house. little demon guys and stuff like that. Eventually they do some stuff to close the gate, but I kind of my attention started to wander towards the end of the
you kind of fell asleep on your own movie.
I didn't really fall asleep, but my attention was starting to wander like a little bit towards the end. but I mean, there were some fun moments. It definitely lived up to being an 80s movie. It didn't, like, I don't know, it says their budget was $6 million. I don't know if that is a lot or a little, but it seemed like it was a little. Yeah. From the movie itself, it didn't seem like they had a very big budget. There was some fun stuff. Like I said, I like Glenn's friend, Terry, and the fact that he was into metal and stuff, and it's sort of a plot element that the album, he plays it backwards, which, you know, was a big thing in the
80s. That was a big thing.
Yeah. And it gives them information about how the gate is this connection to this other dimension and stuff. Some of the work with the little demons and stuff like that was kind of cool because it reminded me of like the
Clash of the Titans.
Name? That yeah, style.
Claymation.
Harryhausen.
Yeah, Harryhausen.
That kind of stuff.
The big demon was pretty cool. The one, you know, that they kind of form. I liked the way it looked.
Yeah.
And it comes out of the floor.
Oh, and there was kind of like a thing throughout of him being into like rockets, like those kind of rocket kits that you could put together.
That's the ridiculous part. It's like, how did that? Was there so much love in that rocket that caused that demon to die? I mean, it was just this amazing amount of love, you know, from one gift to another, and it just, there's so much love the demon couldn't take it.
Yeah, he fires it off into him. So yeah, it got kind of, it definitely had its like silliness, and I don't know, it just kind of started to lose me a little bit. I didn't dislike it, but this is what I would give like a 5 to, or like a 2.5, Rob, because there was some fun stuff, some fun 80s stuff, like I said, with the friend and the heavy metal and stuff. And Stephen Dorff was a pretty good kid actor and stuff. But there was also a lot of, I also felt kind of bored. And like I said, my attention was wandering towards the end. So
I like the girl that put spooge in her hair, like in Something About Mary. She just had it like sticking up.
Oh yeah, there was.
I don't remember. I was in the 80s, and I don't remember that style. I do not remember really? Them just like sticking it up. Yeah.
Maybe you were like, because I mean, I remember that being a style of just the crazy bangs.
And just like moosing the hell out of it, like just sticking.
Hers
it
was
up.
Really extreme, yeah.
Yeah. It was Something About Mary. It was. It was exactly like that.
Yeah. But yeah, that was one of the things I did find entertaining about it, just or from the time period. You know, that wasn't. This was generally made in the 80s, and they were just doing what was contemporary at the time, you know, but.
I can't believe the stupid friend. Like, he thinks they're reading from the Bible or they're reading from a book. And they're like, you're standing close to the edge. And he's like, I don't care. What do I care? What what's going to happen? And then he falls right into the hole. The stupid-ass kid. Get the hell away from the hole. God damn, these things are going to kill you. I mean, Jesus Christ. There's no way to, like, brag. I mean... Well, I'm not afraid of fall. I know it.
No.
And then he's crying down there. He's crying like the guys are grabbing my feet.
You're not sympathetic with him at all.
No, I thought he could have been a stronger character, man. He didn't have to be stupid.
Yeah.
He could have been brave in front of all those girls and not fallen in the hole and completed the chant, you know, whatever he was doing. And probably would have avoided all the other crap that happened afterwards. Because it was literally Armageddon. Like, another... they brought hell into the world. And it was all defeated by love in a rocket.
Love will conquer all.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't as good as I was... of the other, you know, the other 80s movies that maybe are of like a similar nature. Mm-hmm.
You know what it does like... have though is a lot of people I know watch this movie multiple times as kids, so this movie was hot, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why I never saw it back when.
But you're how old were you when this came out? Like,
about 8.
Yeah, I think this affected more like the teenage crowd.
Yeah, you know, I never saw it. I have a feeling if I had seen it when it came out, I would have more. I would have fond memories of it and enjoy it more. But I'd never seen it before, and it was just it was a little too like tame or silly for me, I guess.
Yeah, and on the surface, I mean, it's tamer than it might have appeared, but it might have looked too scary for me at the time because I didn't really,
sure.
I didn't really like. I mean, I would watch like Goonies and stuff like that, but I didn't. That Goonies would probably be my like borderline. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like scary stuff when I was a kid, so
yeah.
I didn't like. I mean, I didn't really watch horror movies until I was in my late 20s. So. I saw a few, like I think I saw part of Jason Takes Manhattan, but it was like at a party and I didn't really want to watch it. I kind of avoided looking at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You're scared.
Yeah.
And that I was just a, that, 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 that was too. When they started to get a little ridiculous. Around the Manhattan, I think.
Very, very, very much so. I just watched it in the past two months.
It went from a horror movie to sort of camp.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we had Jason X and Space and all kinds of crazy shit. But, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
I've since watched those and seen them and they see that in them. But definitely at the time, it would have still been too gruesome and it still seemed like really sleazy and dirty and stuff to me.
Yeah.
It made 13.5 million, so I guess it was successful at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, so it made double its money.
Yep.
So they got their money back and then some. But yeah, not all that great.
So what did you think, Michael?
I like it a lot more, but it's more from I have fond memories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know the film is flawed. Like, it's not the greatest thing ever, but for me, just remembering where I was and watching this thing.
Yeah, sure.
I saw it multiple times on VHS. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it because I rented it twice. So, yeah, I liked it.
Cool.
I like the vibe. I thought the kids were cool. I liked the dog a lot. I thought the dog, that breed of dog, was really cool. I felt bad though because the kid was like, you know, all our dogs age at this rate, and he's like, my dog is 93, and it's okay that he's gone. I'm like, no, it's not.
All right. Want to slap that kid around a little bit.
Yeah, and I was mad at the sister because, I guess when my parents trusted me, like when they left, I knew that there was this like trust, and I didn't want to like break it. And she has this party, like, oh, parents, you can trust me, and then they
and get cuts
there.
Right to the party.
Yeah, it's like it bothers me that kids would do that. Like, I understand that. My friends did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I never did because it wasn't that I,
boy.
It's not that my parents were going to beat me or anything or,
they would forgive me.
I did not want to betray the trust that my parents instilled in me. Like it was like this thing that meant something.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see stuff like that, it bothers me. I did like that she turned the tide, though, and like, you know, there's peer pressure in high school, and she said, you know, I'm gonna be with my brother, you know, fuck you all, and she could have had this good looking hunk of a guy, but no, she turned it down, and it's odd though that. After all this stuff, she sends her friends away, and they didn't have to deal with this mess, which is a good thing. It's like, and it all starts because the boyfriend was supposed to take the dog to the vet or, you know, some place where they could dispose of the dog's body, and he can't because they're closed, so he brings it back and throws it into the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cavalier. It's like, don't even care.
I give it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it.
I don't remember what I gave it. It was either
four.
Okay. It was, yeah, I was gonna say it's either a 3 or 4 out of 10. Yeah, I did not like it.
Yeah, I remember that because that was right after I picked it, and I hadn't watched yet, and I was like, "Uh-oh."
Yeah, it felt like it was purposely made maybe for, you know, a younger audience. As a old man, I watching it for the first time, I didn't like it as much.
Yeah, and you're really old.
Yes, well, not as old as some of us on the call, but I am pretty old.
But I would say I'm the youngest heart of all of us. So you guys age more than me.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too.
Yes, you're youngest at heart.
I didn't age. It's a problem. My body did, but my mind didn't.
That's right. I think I told you that my wife could hear your podcast with Bill the other day. I was like, how old is that guy? I told her, he sounds like he's like a teenager.
That's how Derek Coward met me. He's like, "You have a wife?" I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "I thought you were 14.
Your child grew.
I thought you were in high school."
Well, I guess we can go to mine, huh?
Should we take a break and do questions to mix it up?
Sure, that's a good. I saw some questions, but I didn't pay attention.
I think we just have a couple of them. Sure. I can, since I brought it up.
It's easier for you because I tweet like a bastard and I have to scroll through all of this stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I found them.
I got them too. So these are both from Chris Pfeiffer on Twitter. Cheese Cowboy. The first one is, any monster-related titles you missed or were not interested back in the day that surprised you when read later? And he gives the example of Godzilla, King of Monsters, because of Doug Munch.
That's a good one.
Hmm.
When I was a kid, the only Godzilla comic I had was the one with the Fantastic Four on the cover, fighting Godzilla. But I read it much later, and I didn't realize how big S.H.I.E.L.D. played a part in that comic
book. I was going to say, the only one that I have, I think, Godzilla's in the background. I remember it's a white cover, Godzilla's in the background, and it's like, I want to say it's like S.H.I.E.L.D. like in the foreground talking about like needing to take him down. I bought that one off the newsstand. It's not S.H.I.E.L.D., it's the Avengers on the cover. I'm looking at it now, it's issue number 23. So I probably bought it because I saw the Avengers on there. I really can't think of anything off the top of my head that I remember seeing on the newsstand. I guess things that I missed, probably just missed. I guess I regret not buying more of just horror titles in general. I bought them here or there, but. Little did I know at the time that, you know, within the next 5 to 7 years, there would, you know, be no ongoing horror titles coming from, especially DC at that time. You know, they'd all be gone for years. I probably would have taken more advantage of making sure that I bought all the issues I could find.
Yeah, I didn't care about horror comics at all as a kid.
Obviously your movie you try to stay away from the movies, so I wouldn't think it would bleed into the comics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I had a problem with like the horror comics at the time. Well, horror comics weren't, when by the time I got into comics, horror comics weren't really very big anyway, and what there was from the 70s and stuff, I don't think would have bothered me in terms of being frightened or anything like that, but my comic interest was pretty much solely superheroes. But I definitely, as an adult, came to realize that the Dracula and werewolf stuff from Marvel actually was good stuff, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. When I was younger, I just kind of dismissed it and thought, well, that stuff can't be any good. But then I started to, as an adult, I knew of creators beyond just the few artists that I followed when I was a kid. And definitely became more interested in writers, too. So I see, like, Marv Wolfman and stuff. Those caught my attention where they hadn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that stuff for me was, and like, yeah, I think, I mean, Marvel Wolfman probably is a big name for that kind of stuff, because things like, what is it, Night Force? Is that the right name?
Yeah.
Baron Winters.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
The team of Tomb of Dracula reunited at DC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's all of them. Because, well, my first comic I ever bought was Ghosts. So I started off with horror. I don't know why I picked that over all the superhero stuff, but I did. It was 20 cents, and that's the first time I ever saw a spinner rack, and I was just captivated by this cover. And but since then, I kind of ignored all the monster titles until probably about 15 years ago, and I was like, man, this Tomb of Dracula stuff is awesome. I completed my Werewolf by Night. I still got to complete my Tomb of Dracula. I completed The Living Mummy, a bunch of other horror titles. I'm into, like, the horror reprints now on the Marvel side. I missed out on a lot of House of Mystery and House of Secrets, and I absolutely adore them. Like, missed out in a lot of Tales from the Crypt, although I got a lot of paper cuts ones when they were reprinted, and Russ Corrigan started to reprint them in the, I think it was the 90s or 2000s, and I started buying Tales from the Crypt, but I ignored the genre as a whole, and I missed out on a lot. So, like, right now, all of it's new. I read Godzilla very late. I never thought of Godzilla as horror, though. I always thought of him as, like, a superhero. Like, he was a monster that was a good guy that fought for the people. And he's sort of still that way, even though he destroys a lot of shit. The same with King Kong. I always thought, hey, he's a good guy. But, I love the horror, and the only time I ever went into, like, House of Secrets or House of Mystery before that was, like, if there was a Dial H for Hero or an Eclipso tie-in or something, Prince Rama or whatever his name was, and now I'm just eating up the horror, and that's where I have almost every DC comic since 73, but that's where I'm lacking is House of Secrets, House of Mystery, and Ghosts. And that's what I need to catch up on. So, yeah, I love it all. There's
see,
no genre.
I see a new My Comic Shop order in your future.
Yeah. Well, there's already been a lot of Aaron Myers and Reed. I bought all his horror. I mean, I'm already making a lot of headway into that. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my huge, like you say, blind spots. One of my huge blind spots is the Marvel side horror. I really have like nothing. I mean, an issue here, an issue there. That's it. I'm much more versed on the DC side than I am in anything on the Marvel side. Whether it's Dracula, Mummy, Werewolf.
I have it all.
Yeah, I don't have.
In some form, in other words. I own all of the Tomb of Dracula, like even the black and white magazines in omnibus format. But now I'm getting like the singles too. So yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's great stuff. Werewolf by Night, Jack Ryder. I mean, that stuff is great. And an artist that I've grown to appreciate, you know, there's always been Gene Colan, but George Tuska. Mm. He's a beast, man. I love his art. I love his covers. He did a lot of horror. So yeah, it's a shame that in the 70s, you know, in the late 70s, the genre just started to die for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it has a strong presence now, but it's mostly in the indie market. And, you know, you can find a lot of horror in the back half of Previews or Image or any of the others. But now you're starting to see a reemergence, at least at DC, with their Joe Hill
yeah.
Horror line. So we'll see how that
yeah.
does.
Yeah, you can tell that's going to be a different type of a thing than Unexpected or House of Mystery or something with an anthology. It's either more yeah. dedicated stories, but I'm definitely happy to see these coming to light because I'm excited to read them.
We owe a lot of the death of horror to the guy who wanted to get rid of comics. What's his name? That psychiatrist, Wortham?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's the one that the Comics Code came out of. They couldn't have the Living Dead in the title. They couldn't have vampire. I mean, they
couldn't say zombie. They
couldn't even say zombie. Yeah. And that's why you saw a lot of the things creep into the black and white magazines at Marvel, because they couldn't do that. You saw EC essentially go out of business and basically turn into Mad Magazine. It kind of crushed that genre. And it's a shame, because maybe if that didn't happen, the genre would still be there.
Yeah, I mean, the 70s stuff was kind of when it first came back.
Yeah, they had started to loosen some of the rules again. The comics the code, wording, you could actually say vampire again. You could do a few different things by the 70s. But yeah, it's interesting to think if all of that never happened, would superheroes have made a resurgence or not? Because like everything else, you know, crime and horror kind of had a fall by the wayside.
Everything, so, romance, everything fell by the wayside.
So because of that, there's, you know,
Western,
the people
were
scrambling to try to get more, you know, acceptable comic books out. And if that hadn't happened, would we have seen a resurgence of superheroes, or would it have eventually petered out?
True.
Peter? That's a good question.
It's interesting.
Yeah. We have another.
Yeah.
Yes, the other question from Chris is, first or favorite pop culture character you remember dressing up as for Trick or Treat? Very nice thematic questions.
You got one, Mike?
For the Halloween episode.
I think my first costume was Batman.
Uh-huh.
One of those plastic masks, you know, the ones they made for the kids that you'd sweat in. It didn't have a back. It had a rubber band.
Sure.
And you basically put this plastic
thing
on your
face. And as soon as you breathe three times, the entire inside was sweat. Yeah.
Not to mention, it came with a shirt that was made out of some kind of like vinyl.
Plastic.
Leftover tent fabric or something.
Yeah, it was like a cape and everything. Mine had the full long stuff. And then, you know, I've had various, but that's the first one, I think. I know I just did Spider-Man and the werewolf one year, and vampires, definitely. And the last time I remember dressing up was sort of when me and Barba met and started going out hardcore. Mm-hmm. Was when I was Freddy Krueger on Halloween. I mean, our anniversary is on Halloween, so I was dressed as Freddy Krueger. And back then, my dad made me this glove that was so illegal. it basically had, it looked like it was made out of metal, and the blades were like, I don't know, they were like 15 inches long, and they were like huge blades. And I took it to school, walked around with it all day. Nobody said a damn word. Today I would have been probably shot.
Wouldn't be able to get through the metal detector.
Yeah, it's true. But Barb was dressed as a mime that year too. I remember that. But that's the last time I remember dressing up.
Yeah. You brought that back to for me, because I totally forgot about the whole phenomenon of people dressing up as Freddy Krueger and actually making gloves that were dangerous. I don't think your father was the only father to do that. And I mean, nowadays you get expelled, and that would not be good. But do you have a favorite out of the different characters that you dressed up as, or?
Not really. My Halloween experiences were more fun about not who I was dressing up as, but what I was going to do, like go to the haunted house or do these different things, go see Top Gun. That was our Halloween movie of the Halloween. We decided to get real spooky and go to the danger zone.
Well, Tom Cruise has become more frightening over the years, so
yeah, he has.
I think he does talk to ghosts, so
yeah.
Oh Lord. Mine is the one I remember specifically, and I definitely remember dressing up more than once for Halloween was Dracula. I think that it was cool, but partially, you know, it's just kind of it's an easier costume to do without one of those masks that you're describing, Mike. It would just get all wet on the inside. And, definitely, I was Dracula for more than a couple years. Just the cape, those fake teeth, and, you know, some fake blood at the mouth, and just kind of like, a whiter face, and it was cool. Those good times. Now, the last time I dressed up was just a couple years ago, because Zach wanted to be a Ninja Turtle, so he convinced me to dress up like a Ninja Turtle too.
Which turtle were you?
He told me that I was going to be Leonardo because I was the leader.
That's interesting, because that's Campbell, like Campbell's kids. They love the turtles.
Yeah.
And every one of them wanted to be Leonardo. Oh,
Zach told me I had to be Leonardo. He was Michelangelo.
Yeah. For me, it was Michelangelo just because of the
humor. Absolutely. Yeah. Like,
I did not know the turtles from comics.
Really?
My first turtles experience. No, I never bought a turtle comic. Not until recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't hit the turtles until IDW.
Oh, okay.
But I might have had a Mirage, you know, like when they were like color ones.
Yeah.
I might have had a couple from that time period. Now I have a lot more, but the turtles were never. I was never into the, what do they call it, a morphic. Into that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I saw the movie, and Corey Feldman, I think, was the voice of Angelo, wasn't he? Michelangelo. I know he was one of them.
Yeah, I don't.
And
I think so. Yeah.
I adored the movie. I thought the movie was great. I went to see every single one of them, even the Vanilla Ice one. I enjoyed them all.
Yeah.
But I enjoy movies in general. To me, it's just an escape mechanism. It's a reason to not think about the world and just escape. And I'm entertained pretty much almost 100% of the time. Something has to be like really disturbing to not enjoy, not to escape into a world and just forget everything about everything.
Yeah.
I usually can do that.
No, I was the opposite of you in that I still to this day have never seen like a full Turtles cartoon. But I started to hear about it from friends at school about the black and white comic book, and my first issue is actually number 5. I have issue number 5 through like the teens I had bought, you know, as they were coming out.
What was the question? Did we answer?
Yeah,
the crystal has to answer.
Mine, I think I might have talked about this way back when on the show before, but mine was definitely Yoda.
Yoda!
I'm impressed.
That's fantastic.
You'd be the tallest ass Yoda I've ever seen in my life.
You need to talk to your folks. I need pictures.
I got to find it. Well, yeah, no, I was dressed up as Yoda when I was a kid, so I was the
mm-hmm.
appropriate height.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
I got to find it, but yeah, it was so my mom bought one of those costume kits, like Mike was saying about Batman, where it was just a plastic mask that you, with the rubber band, and then for some reason those kits, they all came with a shirt, like I said, and it was a shirt with the picture of the character on it, and I was like, that never made sense to me. Like, I'm wearing the mask so I am the character. Why am I wearing a t-shirt with myself on it, you know?
Yeah, I should have a brown cloth. What the hell's up with that?
So we actually didn't use that
even as a little kid.
Yeah, my mom was like, she gave it up eventually, but she did a lot of sewing when we were kids. So I use the mask still, but she made me a brown cloak, or like a brown long brown jacket, and she actually made, like, I can't believe she did all this. She made like stuffed Yoda feet to strap on over my shoes.
Oh my god!
The only thing that she went off model on was I had a little like green water pistol. I don't think Yoda had a gun, but
my Yoda version had a of the gun. Movie I saw.
No, so we went off model on that a little bit, but I can forgive that.
That's pretty fun.
And we weren't allowed to, like, we had a Halloween thing at school where we did, like, a parade. We walked around the school in our costumes and stuff, and we weren't allowed to wear masks. So she made me I painted my face green, and then she made, like, a Yoda hat to, like, strap over my head. So, like, my face was still shown, but, like, I had, like, Yoda ears. That was just for school, though. For like trick or treating, I used the Yoda mask from the costume. So there is a picture of me. I'll have to try to find it. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
But yeah, Yoda was my favorite when I was a kid, and he's always been my favorite from Star Wars. So that's definitely like the first I remember, and also like the most awesome and my favorite. I don't really remember dressing up like as any other pop culture characters, though. I remember like being a clown and
you were it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were it before it was it.
And I think I remember dressing up as a zombie.
Yeah,
which was basically just like a bloody mess.
Mm-hmm. I was like an army soldier guy.
Mm.
I don't remember a lot of other ones.
It's weird. I don't remember a lot of, like, I remember a Batman, a Superman, a Spider-Man, a Dracula. Dracula, though, I never bought a costume for. I was always made up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I would get blood and teeth and all that kind of crap. Yeah. And make my face white, you know.
Yep.
But I don't remember a lot of them. And I've been searching forever. Like, my mom has pictures, and when I'm back home, I try to go through as many pictures as I can to try to find stuff that I really want. Like, I really want a picture of me and Barb as Freddy Krueger and the mime, because it meant so much to me, and I can't find it. And I know it exists. I just I can't find it, and it drives me crazy because I want to find it so bad. Mm-hmm. And a lot of holiday stuff, my dad did in 8mm. So we had an 8mm project film camera, and then we'd get it produced into 8mm and an 8mm projector. So some of that stuff is caught on video. And my brother recently, well, not recently, but about a decade ago, converted it to DVD, and I don't know where the DVD is. But it is pretty. I've been trying to search for a lot of pictures, and sometimes they'll show up on Facebook, because I'll be going through my mom's pictures and I'll find stuff. But I know my mom took a lot of pictures. I just can't find what I'm looking for. Like, I find a lot of high school stuff, but not a lot of elementary school stuff. Yeah. And back then, I don't think they developed a lot of film either.
I know, that was the thing. You take all the pictures and then it's like, don't get around to developing it.
Yeah.
I know.
Now it's the opposite. It just stays on the phone. Like, I never print it anymore. You know, it's so different.
Yeah. Yep.
Even though I can. And I kind of wish I would do that just to capture time a little bit better. Yeah, Facebook is good for that.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to have like an album of, you know, these are some key moments that in my life that I just capture and they're in an album, you know, something physical.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
When you guys get a chance, go on Facebook and look at the first costume that Zach and Hallie wear.
Oh, I already did. The Wonder Twins.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonder Twins. I mean, a lot of people give Facebook shit, but as long as I keep it like within boundaries I wanted to see,
yeah,
there's some gold there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot
of
negatives.
you post some gems, yeah, like just some family pictures and stuff that's
but
just
that's the
classic,
thing is that we were talking about this yesterday, and because somebody was saying, oh, I never use Facebook anymore, I said, yeah, I honestly, there's a lot of bad things about Facebook, but it's the only convenient way to keep up on family and friends that you don't see.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to do it. Like, and you know, I consider you guys the same way. It's like, you know, Mike, you're in Colorado. I wouldn't see anything, and it's nice to be able to
see 1,000 comic books on his timeline.
It's that's beautiful. I love seeing that.
And then every now and then you see a female Ewok. I mean, how much more could you want than that?
Or female Tusken Raider. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Tusken Raider. Yeah.
There?
Holy mackerel.
No Tusken Raiders like that in the Star Wars I saw.
No, there weren't. There weren't. And you'd think when Anakin went back to slaughter him, you would have seen one, right?
Yeah. I'm telling you, that would have been a whole different movie.
Everybody would have been, wow.
But no, seriously, it's nice to say, you know, you and Barb and Harley and everything else, you know. And Chris, I know you don't really go on too much, but
I'm totally I'm gone. Deleted.
He's gone. He's gone off of Facebook.
And I,
he says,
do,
he says the hell with us.
Yeah, I mean, I do miss the stuff you're talking about, but I got to a point with the stuff,
negative stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that as a company, like, I just got to a point where I felt uncomfortable supporting them.
They're so disreputable.
So, yeah.
Well, they all are. Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Because I know they're listening. I swear to God they are. Because we could be talking about something just very minute, especially at a convention. Me and Bill will be talking about crazy shit that just never comes up. And then my phone on Twitter feed has an ad for something.
That's what happens for me on
and
Facebook.
And it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's not that I'm looking for it. Like, I can see if they're watching your history.
No, no,
your
no.
Browser.
You're just speaking out
they're,
loud, right?
They're you're speaking.
Yes.
Right now they're listening at it, and a female Tusken Raider is going to show up on my Twitter feed saying, buy this costume for your wife.
It is. It's creepy.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
Well, we spent a lot of time on those questions, so thank you for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
And so that brings us to our final film, Candyman. I'm not in front of
you.
You
don't have
here,
to say it
so.
Any more than that. You don't have to say it any more.
We've said it four times. Fifth time for you, Mike.
I'm not saying.
I mean, as long as you're not in front of a mirror, I think you're okay.
Mm.
Well, I don't know.
I can...
Towards the end of the movie, all rules are broken.
Yeah, in the screen, I'm in front of the computer, and the screen's kind of reflective.
Well, and I think Candyman's gone now, though.
He's gone?
No, there's a sequel.
Yeah.
It's going to be a reboot.
A
yeah. Well, not a reboot, but.
No, there is a sequel. There's Candyman.
Mm-hmm. And there's Candyman Farewell to the Flesh. And
that's
Candyman
right,
Day of the Dead, which I haven't seen those two either, so maybe I'll have to check for those. This was good. So I knew of this as like one of the more recent, in quotes, classics. And as we were talking about before, I kind of had heard that like something about saying his name in the mirror. I thought it was three times. Turns out it's five. But they introduce you to this concept right away in the movie, because there's a boy and girl that are getting ready to have sex, and what would you do before that? But you'd run into the bathroom and try to say Candyman. So,
you know who that guy was? That actor?
No, he looked familiar. Who was that?
It was Sam Raimi's brother. You know, the director Sam.
Oh,
Raimi.
Yeah, Sam Raimi. Uh-huh.
Ted, I think his name is.
What else would I have known him from?
I mean, he's been in a lot of different stuff.
He's been in Raimi films.
He's usually he has a small
he's
room.
He's also written. He also directed some of those and written some of those Ash TV shows for Showtime. Mm.
Yeah, oh, okay. He's been involved a lot of his
But he was the boyfriend at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
sitting on the couch.
Yeah, so, you know, they say it and
what kind of stupid shit is this? Okay, I just have to say this. You're going to invite a guy over for some sexy time.
Right?
Like it's going to be like first time sex.
Yeah.
It's aggressive sex because it's not even your boyfriend, it's your friend's boyfriend, and you have a boyfriend, and it's like, oh, let's get some sexy time. No, let's go into the bathroom, and I'm going to be in my bra, uh-huh. And let's say Candyman. Let's say it. Let's just go say it.
That was
it.
Very...
What the fuck? Why would you want to do that? what the hell? You should both want to have sex and not want to go to the bathroom and say Candyman. Yeah. Who would in their right mind go do that?
Only these two.
Yeah, I just look at that and I laugh.
I know.
I found that was
really
fantastic.
Really.
Yeah.
I don't. Maybe she was nervous. She was trying to put it off.
Did anybody think that the lead actress looked like X-Files Jillian?
Oh my God! Okay, first of all,
I
knew who it was ahead of time, so I didn't think of that. But Stacy was in the room. She does not like horror movies. She was just gonna. But she was in the room. She was reading her book. So she glanced up right at the beginning. She goes, "Is that Julian Anderson?" I said, "No, it's Virginia Madsen." She goes, "Well, it looks just like Julian Anderson." And I looked, and I'm like, "She's right."
I can see. I mean, I can see her being mistaken. They don't look exactly alike or anything.
No, but in a couple of the close-ups, and it's like Julian Anderson, especially in those first few years of X-Files.
It's the facial structure and the way she smiles and smirks and does something. Oh my God!
Yeah, it's similar time period, and they have a similar haircut that's not really in style anymore.
it's funny that you said that. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So so they introduce you to this right away because sure enough, Candyman comes out and kills the girl, and what the guy went crazy or something, the boyfriend, right? I mean, they don't follow up on it, but because then later you're introduced to Helen, who is the who is Virginia Madsen's character, and she's doing a study on urban legends, and in doing some research, she hears about the Candyman legend, and she actually goes out to the Chicago projects, and apparently this woman had been killed. I wasn't quite sure if it was. Really, if it was somewhat recent or if it was a while back that she was killed. I mean, obviously that her apartment was totally destroyed, so it had to be at least a few years prior. But so she goes there and to look for evidence and to take pictures and stuff like that. And she learns more about the Candyman legend, where apparently it was this back in the 1800s, and this black man had fallen in love with a white woman, and what was the guy was or the father was like some sort of a plantation owner or something like that, and so they fall in love, and she ends up being with child, and. The father finds out and gets a mob together, and they cut off his hand. Oh, this guy was a painter too, right? So they cut off his hand, so his painting hand, and shoved hook in it. I don't know if they put the hook in or if he put it in afterwards, but then they smeared honey all over him from a local apiary, and the bees stung him to death. And then they burned his body and strewn the ashes all over the place around where this particular area is in Chicago.
Pretty tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sucky way to die.
Oh my God. Yeah. Pretty bad. But she ends up, Helen ends up saying Candyman five times in the mirror at her house, and then just goes to bed. And you know, after a couple like jump scares,
why didn't it affect her like it did? Was he like in like you know, why didn't he come out immediately and just kill her like the other
girl? Yeah,
like I don't.
I mean, it's never explained.
It's so weird because it's almost like I don't know if they were getting at it, or maybe I've seen this movie too many times, but it seems like they're hinting that he was, you know, Dracula, the story of Dracula, yeah. And what was the Nina? Do you remember Nina reminded Dracula of his old love? That's what I thought they were getting at.
I think you're 100% correct. I think that either Helen is reminding him of his old lover, or if they're literally saying that she's like a reincarnation of his lover. One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. And but definitely, like towards the end of the film, they show the mural, and it's a painting of his old lover, and it looks just like her.
Yeah.
Like her, yeah.
So I think that was it. I think that by her summoning him,
she was treated differently because of that.
He wanted her with him rather than just straight out killing. And so I don't know if that's where, like she had to come willingly to some extent, or what. But I believe that that's kind of where it was going. But her husband is a real piece of crap too. And you kind of get an inkling of that might be, when you see him being, he's teaching his class. He's a professor and you kind of see like one of the students kind of like flirting with him and stuff like that. And he like plays it off like it's nothing, but, you know, Helen asks her husband about this and he's like, oh, I don't know.
She just has a flirtation thing, or she's going through
puberty. He pretends to act like he should have been acting like it's just a student and he's ignoring it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not actually.
You know, they're
he's not a good actor. He's it makes him like he's flat out saying he's guilty just by his way he's acting. Yeah. Like,
well, I thought they did a decent job of like making it like cluing into the viewer that he was having an affair, but I don't think it like really, it didn't make me feel like she was like that she should have picked up on it until she's at a point where she's got so much else going on that it makes kind of sense that she wouldn't pick up on, like, when she tries to call him and he's not at home at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
At that point, she's being accused of...
of like, murder.
Having murdered a whole bunch of... or having kidnapped a baby and killed a dog and trying to kill the baby's mom and you know... woken up covered in blood. And
I thought that this
it's kind of like a great horror movie because it's not like the killer's coming to get you, but going to frame you for all this awful
and
shit.
You know what? And again, I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, are they kind of like, you know, how is this going to end up? Are they going to basically like leave it kind of up to the viewer more? Where is she literally just, because, you know, she just wakes up in this woman's bathroom covered in blood, right? And then, you know, the same thing happens later with her best friend. Best friend comes to her apartment to try to console her, and then she just wakes up again covered in blood, and the police are there, and she has the knife in her hand, and you know her friend's dead in her apartment. And I'm like, is this like something that like she has lost it and is actually killing these people, and she doesn't even know it. So I thought that was pretty interesting. How they kind of did that, like you said, Mike, with like he's actually like framing her with this stuff, because then later on, you know, it becomes more evident that yes, Candyman is an actual entity that has been doing this stuff. But early on, I wasn't quite sure if it's just, you know, her imagination and she's actually doing this because she's losing it or not, and whether or not she belonged in the psych center.
Let's not forget Vanessa Williams is in here.
Yeah, is that the same Vanessa Williams?
I don't know,
but the Vanessa Williams I know was in Hustler magazine.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same.
She was a Miss America.
I don't think it's the same person. I don't think it's the same.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. Who? Oh. I mean, there was. I didn't even know there was somebody named Vanessa Williams in them.
I think she was the young
That's
woman's...
because you were a good boy and you didn't care.
No,
about
I know,
Hustler
I know.
Magazine.
Well, no, because she also went on to do other things, and that's why she ended up. She was an actress and stuff like that. Even if you didn't know about the whole Hustler magazine thing, but
Vanessa Williams was the Anne Marie character who had the dog and the baby.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's why she goes by Vanessa A. Williams.
Oh.
She uses her middle initial because of the other Vanessa Williams. But she's been on other stuff too. She was in New Jack City.
Okay, I think I can picture her.
Melrose Place and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't realize that her name was Vanessa Williams also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this,
I thought it was really Vanessa Williams.
This was cool because then, and when she like breaks out of the hospital, right, and she's she goes back home, and her husband is there with his girlfriend, that student, and you know she's pissed about that, but then she ends up leaving. But that was quite a piece of work, because Chris, I think you were starting to say like when she was first arraigned, or not arraigned, but kind of brought in after that she was attacking the woman that with the baby missing. She called her husband to come pick her up, and it was like 3 a.m. and he didn't answer the phone, and he played it off like he was sound asleep, but like mm-hmm. you as the viewer, like. Yeah,
and she does like.
I don't think that's the case.
She does start.
And that's when phones were loud. Yeah, loud phones.
Yeah. What did you say, Chris?
She does start to ask like a question at some point, like. But yeah, like I thought it was plausible that it sort of gets lost in the shuffle because mm-hmm. she's not only experienced the trauma of waking up covered in blood and then just being accused by it, and then it just one thing happens after another. She doesn't really get a chance to like catch her breath,
right? And that would be really low down on your priority list. You know, what you know, how come your husband was asleep? You know what I mean? Especially when he just throws that off as the explanation. She got a lot of other things to question and worry about rather than that at that point.
There's not a lot that's going to distract you from like investigating infidelity, but like
that's one.
But there are, yeah, what she's got going on is one of those things.
Yeah, for sure. But it was cool, and then I appreciated. The ending, I didn't quite know where this was going to, how this was going to turn out, but she ends up running out, and she can hear this baby Anthony crying, and the huge, this huge collection of wood and trash and everything that they referenced earlier in the movie by the projects where
it's
the
huge, it together
for a big bonfire. So she hears the baby crying in this huge pile, and she goes crawling in there, and she's getting close to the baby. But she also had one of those one of those hook things to help her climb up, which is probably wasn't a good idea to, you know, in light of what's going on, to have that. But
yeah, how convenient to have the same hook.
Right.
And then the little boy that's kind of a crucial character.
Yeah, he's a I like
whole,
I like
whole
him.
Thing. He's like, oh man,
Candyman's there
because
he just sees the.
Let's burn this motherfucker! Yeah. Let's burn him!
So the entire the entire neighborhood pretty much comes out, and you know they start this bonfire on fire, and she's in the middle there trying to rescue this baby, and yeah, of course Candyman appears and is trying to keep her from getting out, and but she manages to hold on to the baby and keep the baby from the flames, even as she, like, things are crashing down literally on her on fire and setting her on fire. And she's able to get the baby out. And the neighborhood sees that it's this woman, crawling out and they go ahead and put the fire out, you know, that's on her. But I mean, she's burnt pretty bad. And then she, you know, sure enough, she ends up dying, but, it's assumed that Candyman is destroyed in the fire as well. And then I liked did you guys like the very end with
the funeral?
After the funeral and stuff. And then, her husband.
Well, the funeral, all the people in the project.
Oh, that was cool. Cause like, there's nobody there at the funeral, right? And you know, I mean, her husband,
her professor,
yeah,
and maybe like one other person,
and then that entire neighborhood, just come marching out to like pay their respects, which is really cool. And then it cuts back to
one other key thing about that ties into what you're about to say is that the little boy throws Candyman's hook.
Yeah.
Down onto her coffin.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, her husband's name is Trevor, and I don't know if he's feeling remorse or upset or what. He's definitely upset, but it seems like maybe he's realizing now that Helen's gone that he had had a good thing, but he's living there with his student lover, and he's in the bathroom just broken up and stuff, and she's making dinner, and she's wearing a very see-through shirt. Did anyone notice that?
Of course.
I don't know what you're talking.
Like you
about.
Noticed?
Yeah. Yeah. I did.
So, I did too.
I know. I noticed all the things like
yeah.
that. I have attention to detail.
Yes, you do. You're very, very good.
I have an eye for detail.
You have an eye for details.
That's why I post female Tuscan page.
And so she's getting. You can tell that she's getting annoyed with him because he's just in the bathroom, and then he's not on purpose. But not because he's trying to summon her, but like he's just in his grief, just keeps saying Helen's name. And he ends up saying it exactly 5 times. And I thought this was super, super cool because, you know, Candyman, for all intents and purposes, is gone, has been destroyed. But then Helen comes back, like looking all nasty and stuff, and kills her husband with Candyman's hook, as you said, Chris, it had been tossed on her grave. And his girlfriend, you know, hears all the commotion and comes running into the bathroom, and there he is, just covered in blood, dead on the bathroom floor. I thought it was really cool. I liked that ending a lot.
Yeah, her hair is all gone, and her scalp's kind of burnt because of the fire.
She's looking pretty in pretty rough shape, which is cool because she just looks scary.
Yeah,
I liked this. I'm glad.
Doesn't the killer with I Know What You Did Last Summer have the same hook?
I think you might be right.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it was a long time ago, and I think you might be right though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. Glad I finally got a chance to see it. When I put together this list, how many years ago was this? I mean, I've been talking about this list for a while, right? And at the time, I searched all the streaming things, and Candyman was not available anywhere. And when I say, like, on Prime, it literally said unavailable. Like, you couldn't rent it. You couldn't buy it streaming. You could buy the physical version, of course. But I wasn't going to buy it if I didn't know, you know, how it would be. And so I was very surprised when I was searching a couple of weeks ago that was actually free on Netflix. So I'm happy I finally got a chance to see it.
Yeah, I actually, I'm pretty sure I saw it back in the 90s, and I don't know how I ended up seeing it. It was just one of those. It was one of the rare horror movies I actually saw. Because the one except the weird exception to the stuff I was talking about is actually would I actually read a lot of horror. That was the only like horror that I growing up, and I actually started really early. Like, I think I read the first couple Stephen King books when I was like 11 or something like that. So I could handle reading it because it was all up to my own imagination to picture things. I know I read some Clive Barker also, and that was one thing which I don't think we've said is that
I just was going to say that. I forgot to say it. I had no idea at all that this was based on a Clive Barker book.
Oh, really?
And he was the producer. But in watching this and in watching kind of the tone or the style, I could definitely see this was Clive Barker.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to Stephen King, I there's something a little more like grimy and like I don't know how to put the right word because King's books can be very like violent at times.
There's like a sensual component to Clive Barker's thing that in like the Hellraiser.
It's like an S&M thing.
Yeah, it makes it gross because it's like got all this blood and violence and stuff, but yet there's like a sensual, like kind of like sex in there as well, which
yeah, his words
can be disturbing.
Sexual. I love Stephen King. Don't get me wrong, but I've always found Clive Barker's work to be more disturbing. But whereas Stephen King sometimes a little more like it's cool. Like I don't know, almost adventurous at times,
yes. I think that speaks to each one of their, not that, you know, we know these people, but it kind of speaks to their personalities. Stephen King just seems like a more like down to earth, like kind of like, you know, like a cool guy. He's like, oh, let's do this, let's do that. And Clive Barker seems a little, I don't know, like a little pervy for lack of a better term.
So,
I don't know.
Well, I'll leave that to you, but
you can leave that to the historians.
But yeah, it's based on a short story actually, and it was he's British, so it actually takes place in Liverpool apparently, but it does still deal with like class. I think like class. You know, because the film takes place in Candyman and the projects of Chicago, the Cabrini Green projects, which a lot of that's not there anymore. Apparently, like they started demolishing the high rises and stuff. All that's left of it now are a few row homes and stuff. But a lot of that's been
because of Candyman
demolished. Yeah. And it's not worked because the remake that's coming out is going to take place in like the gentrified version of Cabrini Green.
Damn,
so apparently they didn't
just can't win.
They didn't get rid of them by demolishing the buildings. But yeah, so that's definitely an aspect of it. And I think there was still like a class, like poor and neighborhood kind of aspect to the short story too, just in Liverpool instead. But yeah, so that was one interesting aspect of it. It was the connection to Clive Barker and stuff. And you mentioned that kid. So Helen, she and her friend, fellow researcher, go to Cabrini Green and to one of the buildings, and that's where they meet the woman played by Vanessa A. Williams. and she goes back on her own later on, and that's when she meets the little kid, and she kind of like cons him. Like she kind of she manipulates him into helping her. He's like, you're like, she pretends that to think that he's afraid, and
yeah, because like, she said, because yeah, because he said that he wasn't afraid of anything earlier in the conversation, and then he didn't want to go show her. He's like, well, you know, unless you're too afraid.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, way to go, manipulate a little kid to.
I know. But
he takes her to like the world's like nastiest public restroom.
I don't even think it's open.
It can't.
It can't.
Everything
be.
Was broken.
Yeah. But it was pretty disgusting. She goes in there, and a guy actually pretends to be Candyman, like he's and she gets beat up.
That's vile, though, man. He takes a hook and just hits her on the side of the head.
Yeah,
she was.
I mean, it's a big gash. Yeah.
Yeah, but that he kind of like he's the one that takes her to that bathroom and tells her the story of I think it was like a little mentally disabled kid back in the day went in there and was killed in there.
Yeah.
Candyman like ripped his privates off.
Yeah, and that's when the mother freaked out. Like, where's my son?
Yeah, she was across the street shopping.
And then she said there was like a macho man that goes in there. Like, he runs into the bathroom and his hair turned white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Helen goes in there, I'm just like, no, nope. The whole time she's doing this, but she goes in there and it still like stinks awful in there, and she kicks open the various bathroom stalls, and the one has like full of the bees being like a constant. The bees keep coming up, the bees, because of how he died, because how Candyman died and stuff.
And we didn't say, but like at a later point, when she's encountering Candyman, he like actually opens his cloak, and like in his chest cavity is just bees just all over the place, basically making up, you know, the inner part of his body.
Yeah. Tony Todd is the actor. I don't know if we said his name.
No, I didn't.
That, very strong performance from him.
I think he was at the Niagara Falls Comic Con either this year or last.
Yeah, he gets around to those, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in the remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, was he in the main character's role?
I think so. I gotta double check. He just looks familiar.
Yeah.
Because I've seen every Night of the Living Dead, except for the remake of Day of the Dead. That's the only one I haven't seen.
Hmm.
Tony Todd, what is he known for?
Candyman.
Well, this was one of the first things, I think, really.
Oh, he was in the Flash TV show. Wow, I don't remember him in there.
Hmm. He was excellent, though.
We got to go back to, like, what year was
92.
He's been in a lot of
stuff. Oh, my God. And consistently. He's still working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, he was in a lot of stuff. The Rock.
And maybe he wasn't in that Night of the Living Dead. I thought he was. Oh yeah, he was. He was Ben in 1990.
There you go. That's the main character. Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
That's the remake, not the original, sure.
Yeah. But yeah.
I love that movie, Barbara. They're coming to get
you. Well, sure
Barbara.
You do. You probably tell it to her all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
She must hate that. But yeah, this was good. I enjoyed it. I give this one an 8 out of 10.
Oh,
finally, there's some life in me.
There's some life in me.
Thank you.
I gave it a 7.
Oh, Martin will not be happy to hear that.
or 3.5.
He says and 7 is not.
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's something I definitely don't like. I definitely don't. Martin's whole thing against 7s. I definitely give a lot of 7s.
Yeah.
Or 3.5s.
I think that's his point. And I take his point. Is that pick one. Did you really like it? Just pick one. And I think that's what his point is. He's like, then when he says that 7 isn't a score, that you're sitting on the fence.
And my response to that has always been, a lot of stuff is a 7.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff is on the fence.
that's my thing too.
Where a lot I totally of stuff falls.
I think it is sitting on the fence. But that's exactly how I feel about the movie.
a lot of entertainment is on the fence with me. We're all on the fence together.
I'm totally with you, Chris. That's exactly why he keeps seeing me have 7s, because it's honestly how I feel. It's not like I didn't really like it, but I liked it a little bit more than just a normal 6, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't run into a lot of stuff that's lower than that, because I'll have a sense before I even spend my time on it that's not for me, you know?
Yeah, right, sure.
So I'm not going to end up with a lot of stuff lower than that. And then, the stuff that's better than that, that's how I find the stuff I really love, you know?
Mm-hmm. So listen to this. I don't know if you guys were looking at I was just looking at the wiki. It said that Eddie Murphy was the original choice for the
role. Oh, yeah.
But the filmmakers could not afford him.
Oh my God, they really dodged a bullet there. That would have been awful.
Yeah. And then
I can't see that not just completely taking me out of the.
Oh, it would be a totally different movie.
The film.
It did well, $6 million, and made almost $26 million.
Yeah. So. 92. Tony Todd negotiated a bonus of $1,000 for every bee sting he suffered, and he was stung 23 times.
Whoa!
I don't think there's probably a way to avoid that in today's world.
Oh, now, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, he dealt with a lot of bees. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Oh man! So we got an extra 23,000.
Good thing he wasn't allergic to.
Oh yeah, they must have tested him ahead of time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, or just. Yeah, if he didn't already know.
Yeah, he might have already known, yeah. Yeah, but this is good. This is one, now, you know, back to what I was explaining before with my rating scores, this is one that I want to own, because I can see myself watching this, you know, almost, like this is one that I'll, because it's, especially because it's fresh for me, I could watch quite a few times, like for, like, next few Halloweens. I really thought it was well done. I can watch number 2 for $2.99, and Candyman 3 is free on Prime.
There you go. Just jump. Nope.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about the sequels.
Oh, let's be honest. I'm sure they're much worse.
Sometimes it's entertaining just to.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to follow and see what they ended up doing, even though you know. Yeah, that's okay. I'll check it out. Yeah, this is
Farewell to the Flesh is the next
one.
Let's see what the budget was on that one. That was $6 million still, roughly, and it made 13, so it wasn't as successful.
Diminishing returns. And how about number 3, which was Day of the Dead?
Candyman, Day of the Dead, 1999. Damn.
Hmm.
I just lost it. I must have double-clicked something, because I'm on top-rated TV shows.
Oh.
What the hell? Candyman, Day of the Dead. Let's see. I don't see a budget. So maybe it didn't make anything.
Huh. Here I see that it said that reports, Rotten Tomatoes reports that 13%, oh, it was only of 8 critics, gave it a positive review. The average rating was a 4.03 out of 10. Doesn't sound great. That's okay. I'll try it out.
I wonder why there's no budget. Is it because it was direct to video? Does it not have a budget then?
Oh.
I mean.
Well, I mean, still would have a budget, but it wouldn't have a box office.
Yeah.
So.
But it doesn't say like a budget.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know. Might just not have been able to find that information.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was fun.
It was fun.
Until next Halloween.
I know. Yep.
what was the winner in your book? Candyman of the three?
For me?
No, for everyone.
Oh, yeah, I say Candyman.
Yeah, Candyman. I feel like I'm more predisposed towards satanic rites of Dracula because of like the time period and the actors in it and stuff like that, but I would have to say Candyman was a better movie.
I would say Candyman's a better movie, but I enjoyed Satanic Rites of Dracula more, but because I've never seen it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could wrap this one up. That was fun.
Yeah, that sounds good.
My film won again. That's good.
Yep.
Wait, what?
I have seen. I saw last year Curse of Frankenstein and Horror of Dracula. Those are the late 50s Hammer movies with those, you know, actors that you were talking about that were.
Yeah.
And those were pretty good. So.
There were what, 5 out of 10?
No,
is
like,
that what you got?
They were like, you know, Martin's.
Ah, damn it! That's why the Netflix rating is the best, because I at least know you like it. It's not, I know what it means.
Yeah, I know. I didn't make this up. I'm just like putting them into IMDb. There's no option for a 5-point rating on IMDb.
Well, in all fairness, Netflix got rid of.
Well, you can
their
just convert
rating
them down.
Yeah, but then, whether... but I actually do like the degrees that I can kind of differentiate a 6 from a 7.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's what the points are. That's what the decimal points are for. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't, but like, if Mike wants to interpret your scores, like if you say something's a 4 out of 10, that he can convert that down to a 2 out of 5, and that means you didn't like it on Netflix score. So he just has to do the conversion.
He does enough math at work, probably.
Yeah.
I know I could do the fraction math. It just seems more ambiguous.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Because there's more of it, there's more you can do, it's more ambiguity. Whereas the other rating is just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's no fraction.
Yep.
There's no rounding. You just pick it.
That's right.
True.
All right. Well, you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger. And you can reach Chris at MythMakingETC. Thank you for changing that Twitter account. I wouldn't have known the Monkey Robot 3, whatever it was. At Mike Myers Brunch. And,
that's gonna be we're gonna be like old man. You'll be like, remember that time you changed your Twitter? I know what the hell it was.
It really threw me off because for weeks it would still take your old one because I guess you were like formerly known as Prince. You were like formerly known as MythMakingETC. So I could still go at MY. And it would find you. And then it lost it. And I was like, oh, shit. I can't remember this monkey three-finger beat. Whatever it was. All right. And we are at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And thank you for the questions again, Chris, right? I think that was his name.
Yes, Chris Pfeiffer.
That was some good questions. A lot of memories. Thank you. All right. We'll talk to you again soon, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys.
You too. Adios.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Candyman.